I'm old Myoho Renge Kyo. Hi friends, how you been? It's been a schmafolia of a week. I hope this finds you in good health and secure. Two things happened about a week ago that kind of threw a wrench in my practice here and these videos that I do for you. One was, now I apologize if I sound a little rough, look a little rough. I don't know if you can see it. I got some swelling. Had surgery on my neck. Not the first time. They went in and ripped out a messed up disc, and I have now yet another vertebrae fused in my neck. And my endurance for holding a cell phone or working on a keyboard, or I suspect I'm holding off on picking up this book because I'm not going to last long. But that's not going to prohibit me from making the effort. This is part of an integral part of my practice, and I know I'm part of yours, and so I'm very committed to doing this. So that's the first event, is the neck surgery, and I'm going to be recovering. It's going to take a few weeks, so please bear with me. I will do my best to be here and offer you good content, useful content, okay? The other thing was, of course, the southern United States and its twice a year battle with the weather. And we had some significant tornadoes come through Mississippi as well as other places. But as relates to the Coon here, the school here, we weren't hit directly by the tornado. But thank you for all your concern. Many of you emailed me and tried to connect with me. I had no internet. I couldn't comment back. It was if I could use somebody's phone that had data privileges on it, which I don't, too much money. I can't afford it. But I had no access to Wi-Fi, to internet, I couldn't send out a message to my patrons to let them know what's going on, to all of you guys, either on YouTube or in email. I had no way of letting you know, and I felt really bad about that. I can't think of an auxiliary plan unless I send out snail mail, and I don't have those addresses, so. But yeah, the internet knocked out our internet provider, which is well south of us, but in doing that and all the mayhem and the phone poles, we use cable here, not satellite. Satellite, speaking of expensive and ridiculousness and slowness, yeah, just not an option. We went to cable a decade ago, and that's what we are connected to the internet on. However, it makes us perhaps more susceptible to transmission line management, right? Because it's all cable from pole to pole to pole to pole. So they got to repair crap load of destroyed infrastructure when a tornado comes through, or a hurricane, whatever, and tears up those poles and those lines and so on. So we finally got back last night. I uploaded a video that I'd made a few days earlier when I got home from the hospital. Whew. Anyway, I don't want to spend too much time on this, but I wanted you guys to know what happened. And again, I am super appreciative of your concerns. And I'll be back in here doing the thing. So, Nichiren on Mandala and Gohanzon. As we continue, I only did one paragraph in the last video. Let's see if we can get a little further this time, okay? Even among those who embrace the Lotus Sutra according to its words, and we talk all the time about how the words can be problematic as an attachment point instead of seeking beneath the words the meaning. So I strongly suspect that's what we're going to read here. Many embrace the Lotus Sutra according to its words. There are some who resent the votary of the Lotus Sutra, either because of their greed, anger, or foolishness, because of worldly matters, or because of his various actions. Although such people have confidence in the Lotus Sutra, they will not obtain the benefit of resolve. And I talk about this all the time. It is a benefit, but it is also something that you must strive for. You know, knowing, memorizing, knowing all the right words to say, even chanting. If it's just a rote repetition without the internal drive, the ichinen, the desire, the will, the commitment, and the confidence. Because it's one thing to have commitment, but if you don't trust that you can achieve it, you've already subverted your effort. You know, think of it like an athlete. Oh, I'm going to run that 400 meter, it's not a sprint at that point, but I'm going to run that 1,000 meter race. And I'm going to run it, and I'm going to run it good. I'm really going to commit. So do you think you can win? Winning, I don't know. It's not really for me. I just want to run the race. You would have to be pretty supremely talented to stay on that team for long, wouldn't you be? I mean, you have to, if you're going to be competitive, if you're going to really savor the accomplishment of the effort, you have to have some strength of conviction, some confidence that you can make greater strides than you had before, that you're constantly reaching further. Right? It's just like anything. Same thing with Buddhism. If you're not convinced, if you don't have the confidence to know, yes, Buddhahood, that's for me. I can experience that. I want to know it. For a lifetime, for a moment, I want to know it. I want to feel it and know it. Experience it. If you're not committed to that, then it's just another thing you're doing. You, like I say, you're playing at Buddhism. Why? Why waste all that time? Right? And yet, yes, we read that even so, you will create benefit for yourself, merit for your life. But how profound can it be? How life-changing can it be? Certainly, things will adjust in your life. I don't know about you, but I want to know. I don't want to play. Tell me it takes a long time, I'm cool with that, because I'm committed, right? But oftentimes, and here's the end of that sentence that should kind of light a fire under you if you're in that position. People have confidence in the Lotus Sutra. They will not obtain the benefit of resolve, but will instead incur retribution. Because you're messing with your karma. And so if all you're doing is playing at Buddhism, you're rattling up your karma, your awakening aspects of your freight train of energy, some of which remain rather dormant. And if they did, you know, at that moment, you wake them up to say, what the hell are you doing? What are you about? And they say, well, I'm a negative tendency. And if you haven't shored up your Buddha-ness, you haven't raised your life condition to be able to handle that and simply turn it into no great deal, then therefore modifying it. If all you're doing is playing at it, then it's going to instantiate. That's what it does. And suddenly you've got some more crap in your life that's an obstacle now. Oh, no, now this. Where did that come from? But if your life condition was higher because your commitment was higher, you might not even be aware of it. It may just come up and evaporate because it doesn't have the strength to influence your life negatively. This is why we want to maintain our Buddha-ness, right? Bodhisattva way. Sorry, still having trouble swallowing. Let's try some hot coffee. To explain, he continues, if a son disobeys his father and mother, he will be acting in an unfilial manner, except in a case where his parents are plotting a rebellion. Everything's relative, right? Oof. Bad pun. Though a father may take his own son's beloved wife, fathers do these things, or a mother may steal her own daughter's beloved husband, if the son or daughter should deviate even in the slightest from the path of filial piety, they will create causes that will lead them to be abandoned by the heavenly deities in this life and fall into the Avicii hell in the next. And again, with these kind of translations, I feel behooved to remind you that when Nichiren or any Buddhist scripture, text, teaching talks about this life, the next life, they're talking about moment to moment, birth, death, birth, death, birth, death, birth, death. So if your father does something to you, not to you, but that's key. If your father takes your wife or your mother takes your husband, they're behaving very poorly. No argument, right? But everything is about how you react. Buddhism is about the mind, attitude and intent. So, should you react? Well, you son of a so-and-so, blah, blah, blah. See, Nichiren is using filial piety here as an example of the most intimate relationships we have in life, and therefore the most influential. They're influential not because necessarily we want them to be, it's just the karmic connection that makes it so that their actions are far more impactful to our perception of life than a stranger. Duh. But that puts us at greater risk. Greater risk for what? From plummeting from our high life condition to the Avicii hell. Deep within the lower realms, hell, anger, animality, so on, so forth. Do you see? How do we keep that from happening? Because it may not be the taking of your loved one, but whatever it is, from very tiny to very great, those things are much more powerful than, as I said, from a workmate, a classmate, a team member, a stranger. That's why Shakyamuni said, as many others have said, that the greatest potential enemy we have in life are those closest to us. Generally, family is the greatest source of obstacles to our practice. Not because they're in our closer vicinity, not because they're all bad, like family is a unit of strife and difficulty. More it's like pebbles in a tumbler. You ever seen those tumblers you fill with water and sometimes salt or other things? And they slowly spin. Not fast, but they slowly, they tumble. You put stones in there and you tumble them. And as they are in the fluid, water, and they bump against each other, they chip away all the little rough edges, and eventually those rough edges and those chips become almost like a sandpaper or a very fine kind of a polishing compound. And mixed in the water, over time, they actually polish those stones and turn them into something that looks precious and you can make jewelry from. Just a bunch of rocks. Right? So it's very much like that. It's not that they have bad intent. It's just the nature of all your karma in vicinity, close proximity, coming from generally the same energetic constructs, sometimes share negative karma that's very similar. Touches themselves off. It just happens. It's like chanting without chanting, though. And that's what makes it so difficult. By chanting, we can mollify, as I said earlier, start to polish those stones rather than reacting to, ow, ooh, ow, you chipped me. Oh, you son of a, right? It's like a karma battle. And with our practice, we can keep above the tumbler and understand the polishing process without getting down into the muck. But if you dive into it, you're going to suffer more because you choose to be in the suffering, in the battle, instead of choosing rather to be objective and see it work itself out, influence it to work itself out, influence it to be diminished, whatever. Your position mentally is critical. Though if I, sorry. Graver still is the act of going against a worthy ruler who is superior to a father or mother. Superior not in, superior in status and superior in their degree of responsibility, yeah? And even graver is that of going against a secular teacher who is 100,000, 10,000 million times superior to one's parents or the sovereign. Why is that? Because the teacher not only represents an intimate influence in your life, but a teacher, because of that influence, represents a facility that you yourself have in your own mind. As I've said before, there are not just, a teacher is not a singular thing. A teacher is somebody providing direct influence and information and support to whatever it is you're doing, but the actual teaching is happening in your mind. Someone offers you an opportunity to consider. You then consider and make use of that opportunity. We call it learning and teaching, but that's kind of a false dichotomy because the teacher, the one offering to you is learning as much as they're teaching, as they offer to you and to themselves what they're experiencing, for you to then teach yourself and respond to that teacher. You are learning, but you're also teaching. So the two words are really the same. They're part of the same rubber band. We see them as separate things, but they're not. So to assault that is to assault your own ability to teach yourself, to learn. How grave a matter it must be, then, to go against a Buddhist teacher who has forsaken the secular world, and even more so the teacher of the Lotus Sutra. So he's really putting a scale to our, again, it's about our attitude and intent. How committed are you to Buddhahood? Remember, one of the things that we learn about Buddhahood, or our practice of Buddhahood, our practice of bodhisattvaness, is that everything and everyone is our teacher. The size of that statement takes on unfathomable proportion now. Because it's not just Bob is my teacher. Buddha is my teacher. Buddhahood is my teacher. Oh, the universe is my teacher. Why? Because the universe is where I instantiate my potentials, my tendencies and conditions. Seeing those, obviating those, opening my eye, my Buddha eye of perception of those tendencies and conditions, I now can drive the ship. I now can navigate the karma of my life. I now can express, instantiate to the benefit all of my potential without getting dragged down by illusions from negative potential, because it's there. I just don't need to follow that into its rabbit hole of suffering. I can minimize it. I can turn it off, and I can live more and more in the life-affirming potential of life. It is said that the Yellow River becomes clear once in 1,000 years, and that a sage likewise appears in the world once in 1,000 years. A Buddha appears in the world once in countless kalpas. Yet even if one should meet a Buddha, it is far more difficult to encounter the Lotus Sutra, the Myoho Rengekyo. And even if one should encounter the Myoho Rengekyo, it is rarer still for an ordinary person of the latter age to meet the votary of the Lotus Sutra, the personage of those who live for the propagation of Myoho Rengekyo, which is what we're all really, that's the mantle we're taking on, right? Nichiren, do as I do. We are taking on the mantle of being votaries of the Lotus Sutra. It's no small thing. That might answer why it seems there's so few of us. Sometimes it seems like there's a lot of us, but they're not all doing the same thing. And this chapter is talking about that difference. A lot of people say they're something, but they're not really something. They're just playing at it. The reason is that the votary who expounds the Myoho Rengekyo in the latter age surpasses the Buddhas and Bodhisattvas appearing in the Sutras of the Flower Garland Sutra, the Agama Sutras, the Correct and Equal Sutras, and the Wisdom Periods and the 1,200 or more honored ones of the Mahavacharana and other sutras. Right? We're the Bodhisattvas from under the earth. We're those votaries of the Lotus Sutra yet to come in the Buddha's day. Our age, now. And those earlier sutras, those earlier bodhisattvas and the followers of these earlier sutras, they did not expound Myoho Rengekyo. They did not expound this immediate method of instantiating Buddhaness. They did not. The great teacher Miao Lo states in his commentary, quote, "Those who give alms to the practitioners of the Lotus Sutra will enjoy good fortune surpassing the 10 honorable titles, while those who vex or trouble them will have their heads split into 7 directions." What does that mean? You psychologists out there, think about that. You ever known anyone that way? Have you ever felt that way? Like you just didn't know which way to go, which way to duck. You didn't know what to do with your life. Everything's a mess. Things are pulling you every which way or pushing you every which way. You just don't know what to do with yourself. Isn't that how it feels to have your mind split into 7 different directions? Or 7 pieces, it says here. The epidemics that the Japanese nation has suffered since last year, as well as those of the past Shoka era, 1257 to 1259, are totally without precedent in the reigns of the more than 90 emperors who have ruled since the beginning of the imperial era. These calamities appear to stem from the fact that the people hate the presence of a sage in this country. This is exactly what is meant when it said, that it is said that a dog that barks at a lion will have its bowels ripped open, and that an asura who tries to swallow the sun and moon will have his head broken. 2/3 of all the people in Japan have already fallen ill in the epidemics, and half of these have perished. The remaining third may not be afflicted in body, but they are afflicted in mind. Visibly or invisibly, their heads have surely been broken. So, again, Nichiren reminds us, man, the nose is really going to town today. I don't have no tissues. Sorry. Let's see if I can do this here. My apologies. Ugh. All right, almost done here for the day. There are 4 kinds of punishment: general and individual, inconspicuous and conspicuous. If the people nurture hatred for a sage, general punishment will sweep across the entire country. Extending to the 4 continents, the 6 heavens of the world of desire, and the 4 meditation heavens. When enmity is directed toward a worthy, only those who harbor it will suffer punishment. The epidemics now spreading in Japan are general punishment. Surely the people must have opposed a sage living in this country. Because a mountain contains a jewel, its plants and trees do not wither. Because a country has a sage, that country is protected from ruin. Ignorant people do not realize that plants and trees on a mountain do not wither because of the presence of a jewel, nor do they realize that a country falls because of enmity toward a sage. He's talking about the situation in medieval Japan of all these other sectarian manipulators of the Buddhist teachings for their own political gain or their own egos, and they've forgotten or choose not to support the actual teachings of Shakyamuni and the purpose of his teachings, which is what Nichiren's great effort has been his whole lifetime. That's why he's called the reformer of medieval Japanese Buddhism, right? Though the sun and the moon shine, their light will not benefit the blind. Of what use is the sound of voices to the deaf? The people in Japan are all as though blind or deaf. How immense would be the benefit if one could open all these eyes and ears, causing all the eyes to see and the ears to hear. Who could possibly fathom this benefit? And I may add that, although parents may give birth to a child who is endowed with both sight and hearing, if there is no teacher to instruct that child, then its eyes and ears will be no better than those of an animal. And he's not specifically referencing I, Nichiren. See, he's not being egotistic about this. He's talking about the nature of human beings, of sentient minds. Because the teacher and the mother and father could easily be the teacher of that child, but they could falter in their filial responsibilities, right? And that's no better. All right, on that note, I'm going to conclude for today. I think I did pretty good. Among the 10 directions, all the people in Japan aspire to the West. All right. We will continue with this. Remember, it's available as an ebook on threefoldlows.com or as a print book if you like print books. I do, but a lot of people these days, and I've heard from you, you love to read on your iPads or your devices or whatever. And that's terrific. It's much easier to get an ebook now and download it, have it, no shipping, no waiting. I mean, that's pretty awesome, especially to those of you in other countries. And there are many of you, so thank you. Thank you for being here. Thank you for your practice. Thank you for your support. Patrons, you guys are steadfast and you... so tremendous recently, and I think largely due to the ebooks. Many of you have supported this effort, this resource, through the purchase of ebooks, and it was felt. Thank you so much. In the meantime, please take care of your health so that you can continue with your practice, make it strong, get determined, instantiate Buddha, yes? I'm so grateful for this opportunity and for you guys to support this opportunity. Like, subscribe. It helps grow our presence, the Sangha. And I will see you in the next one. No matter what. All right. Take care of yourselves. I'll see you soon. Bye for now.